WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, the coronavirus, and library books, there is no due date, illness, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 11th of March, 2020. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have a double billing here for you this morning. Double feature. I was looking for some new shows over the weekend, and I stumbled across this one out of Oklahoma City. I guess it was picked up by NBC. It is it's kind of a superstitious, suspenseful, superstitious series. I listened to two of them. Probably didn't win any awards, but sorry, I'm trying to undo some wires here. It's not going to win any awards. I decided on this one because its original air date was the 13th of March, 1942. That would be almost 78 years ago. Things have come a long way since radio. And that was like the first, it's like the mid-period of the golden age of radio right there. That's pre-World War II. Well, anyway, I'll go ahead and play this one. This one is episode 17, Dark Fantasy. The title of this is Superstition Be Hanged. Again, with an original air date of the 13th of March, 1942. You're listening to Arthur here on the Grand Hour. 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org.
Giant swing flyaway. In addition to which, Flying Samson will perform 2 1/2 somersaults onto that lofty swinging trapeze. The most difficult, the most spectacular, the most daredevil performance of all times, ladies and gentlemen, and you are about to witness it for the first time. So all eyes attention. I give you, high in the tent top, that supreme artist who refuses to use a net, the better to entertain you, Flyer Samson.
Barker. Oh, Barker.
Yeah, Ruby.
Do you think he'll make it?
Flyer? You can't miss.
He missed twice yesterday.
Yeah, that was before he found his trouble. Did 8 in a row after he got the hang of it.
Barker, don't say that.
What, Ruby?
The hang of it.
Oh.
You remember what Harajala said?
Yeah.
Is Flyer wearing the white feather?
I can't see.
Well, he pins it at the belt on the left side.
Yeah. Now, his left side's away from us. Anyway, his suit's so white we couldn't tell.
Where's yours?
Huh?
Where's your feather?
Yes. Inside my ring jacket. Here, see.
Yeah.
That was a clever stunt, keeping your feather in your hair.
Yeah, it adds to my costume.
Oh, he's getting ready.
Oh, I hope he makes it.
He will.
He missed twice yesterday.
Yeah, but he hadn't gotten the hang... hadn't gotten the idea yet.
And he used a net yesterday. We should use a net till he's sure.
Ah, he's sure. Now, ready now. Watch. You do the giant swing on that stationary bar. Let loose. Fly through the air in a 2 1/2 somersault. Catch that swinging trapeze bar at the other end of the tent.
I know. Why, though, haven't I watched him practice for weeks?
Yeah, the trick is to catch that swinging trapeze at the other end of the tent.
Oh, I hope he's wearing that feather.
Here he goes. There's the giant swing. Once. Twice. Three. He's in the air.
Grab that bar!
Oh, Flyer!
Good Lord, what's happened?
Look at him! Look at him!
I told him to wear the white feather with the spot of blood.
Harajala!
Look, he is wearing the feather.
And I told him to. Now look at him. Hanging there. Caught in the twisted trapeze rope. Hanging.
Excuse me. Oh, Ruby.
Barker, the feather. I couldn't find it in Flyer's dressing room.
Ruby.
Oh.
Come in, Miss, Ruby. I take it you're talking about the dead man's dressing room.
Why, yes.
Uh-huh. Thought so. Excuse me, please.
Murphy! Cover Samson's dressing room. Nobody in or out.
Right.
Now, Miss Ruby, suppose you tell me about the white feather.
Ruby, Police Inspector Guilfoyle. Inspector, this is Ruby Brooks.
Well, Ruby Brooks, I must say you don't look a bit like your pictures on the billboards.
All right, wise guy. I don't have to stick around here and be insulted. I know my rights.
Insulted? My dear girl, what I meant was you're so much more attractive than those horrible posters they have up all over town, honestly.
I'll stow it. Barker, what's a copper doing in here?
Just asking questions, Ruby. Routine stuff, you know. Be nice to him.
Sure, Ruby. That's not a bad idea.
What do you want?
Just checking up. We run a pretty respectable town here.
And we run a pretty respectable circus, mister.
I'm sure you do. Except every now and then, somebody winds up in a casket.
Meaning what?
Oh, nothing.
You're trying to make something out of Flyer Sampson's death.
Nothing more than it really is.
Well, he died by accident, see? And if you want some witnesses, brother, just advertise for any one of those 1,100 people who saw him die.
They tell me Flyer Sampson was a first-rate acrobat.
He's the best in the business. I mean, he was.
They also tell me he was trying out a new trick today.
Yeah, new on the public. He's been working on it for 2 years.
And I also understand today's the first time he's tried it without a net.
So what if it is?
Strange, isn't it, that a man should die trying his new stunt for the first time?
I don't see anything so strange about it.
No? You use a net for your trapeze act, don't you?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, I was just thinking. Flyer Sampson not using a net and perfecting a stunt nobody had ever done before was liable to put out your spotlight, huh?
Now, look here, wise guy. If you're insinuating...
Ruby.
Enough...
Now, take it easy, baby. Take it easy.
I wasn't insinuating anything, Ruby. I was merely telling you what I was thinking. Now, Barker.
Yeah?
What's your real name?
Jeff Kilby. People in the business call me Barker Kilby.
And the young lady?
She's my wife.
I see. I presume you performed as usual today, Mrs. Kilby?
Naturally. I have the high spot of the program.
I'm afraid I rather disagree with you. The high spot seems to have gone today to Flyer Sampson. Now, about the white feather. Well?
Barker, do we have to put up with this? After all, Flyer wasn't murdered.
Are you positive he wasn't murdered?
Of course I am. It was an accident. Ask anybody who saw it.
Then what's the white feather got to do with it?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Suppose you let me decide.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do, Ruby. Remember? The first thing you said when you come in here was... you couldn't find the white feather in Flyer's dressing room.
I don't remember.
A very bad memory. And why, Ruby, if you're Barker's wife, did you knock before coming in here?
Why, just a habit. We've only been married 2 days.
I understand, Mr. Kilby. You've been married 2 years. You see, before I investigate a case, I always do the preliminary work beforehand.
Well, we didn't announce our marriage until a couple of days ago.
I see. Now, about the feather.
There's no feather.
I rather think there is. Isn't there, Ruby?
You're blame right there is, wise guy. In your hat. And you're talking through that.
In other words, you won't talk, huh?
We've got nothing to say. Now or ever. Flyer Sampson died by accident. And if you happen to find out he was murdered, we didn't have anything to do with it.
That the way you feel too, Barker?
Sure he does.
Barker?
Yeah. Now, that's the way I feel about it.
Very well. I realize I can't force you to tell me about the feather yet. But I'll be around. Sure. I'll be around. Go on.
Barker.
Baby, you shouldn't have talked to him like that.
It's gone. The feather isn't in Flyer's dressing room anyplace.
Are you sure?
I searched the whole place. It isn't in there. And it wasn't on Flyer when it happened.
He couldn't have destroyed it.
Oh, we both begged him not to, but he might have.
Yeah.
He laughed at us when we told him what Harold Jala said. Told us we were a couple of superstitious fools.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, but he finally promised to wear the feather just to please us. Well, he didn't.
And now that... what
happened? Barker and Ruby all have the same fate. Death by hanging. And that fate can only be avoided by wearing a white feather of a baby swan, spotted with the blood of a dove.
How did you get the feather back?
I took it back.
Took it back?
Yes. Flyer Sampson was a fool. He wouldn't believe me. called me a fraud. He said he wasn't superstitious.
You stole the feather from Flyer. You knew he'd die if he didn't wear that feather.
Certainly. I saw it in his future. Just as I've seen it in yours and Ruby's.
You killed him.
He killed himself.
No, you did. You knew he'd die if you took the feather.
Parker.
He laughed at me. I do not like being laughed at.
Why, you dirty rat.
Parker!
You killed him just as sure as if you strung him up yourself.
Parker, that knife!
Don't come any closer with your knife, Barker.
No, Barker, no, no!
I always knew you were a rat.
I regret it if you kill me.
I've never regretted killing a snake in my life.
Keep back. Keep back.
Barker, no!
Flyer wasn't wearing his feather because he stole it from him. Revenge himself because Flyer wasn't superstitious.
Barker, he did.
Yeah, no loss.
Oh, why did you do it?
He had it coming. Flyer Sampson was the best man in the business.
But that cop, he's still hanging around someplace.
We gotta beat it.
Where to?
I don't know. Anywhere, but we gotta beat it.
I'll go with you.
Go pack your things.
No time for that, Barker. That cop may be back any minute now.
I guess I lost my head. Seen him standing there, holding Flyer's feather.
Oh, come on. Got any dough?
Yeah, a couple of hundred.
I've got 50. Thank heavens I've got it with me. Come on, we've got to get ahead of that car. Oh, Barker, we shouldn't have taken this plane.
Yeah, it's the fastest way to cover a long distance.
I know, but so much money.
You want to get away, don't you?
Of course. What are we going to do when the cash runs out?
We'll get a job.
Walking tight wires and swinging from tent tops, I suppose.
Now we'll go to Europe.
Sure, on $300.
Stop worrying, will you? You give me the willies.
Oh, if you just use your head.
I'll start that I told you so business, and so help me, I'll make you wish you'd kept your trap shut.
All right. What are your plans when we get to Frisco?
We'll hide out in a cheap room in a house. Keep indoors most of the time.
I'm going to enjoy this.
Well, you didn't have to come along.
Maybe I'd be better off if I hadn't.
Baby, take it easy. I didn't mean it. I just never been on the lam before.
Well, I have, and I don't like it.
Yeah, there's the airport. Yeah, we're on the ground.
We better hop a cab as soon as we can.
Right. Here we are.
Barker.
What, baby?
Look out this window. Careful, he'll see you.
Who'll see me?
Look for yourself.
That cop. Guilfoyle.
How did he get here ahead of us?
Yeah. How?
He's watching for us to get off the plane. Oh, what are we going to do?
He'll never get me.
Barker, think of something.
Easy, baby. Pilot just stepped out of the cabin.
What are you going to do?
You just wait and see. All right, brother. This is a gun in your ribs. Now get back there at those controls and see how fast you can get this plane into the air again. Wake up.
Oh, Barker. Oh, you frightened me.
Quick, the fire escape.
What?
I saw him.
Who?
Guilfoyle, the cop.
He see you?
Yeah, I think so. Come on, leave everything. You got the dough?
What's left?
And come on, now the fire escape.
Get this window
open. Hurry now, out the window.
Barker, look down below.
Go up, Ruby. They haven't spotted us yet.
Half a dozen cops down there.
Yeah.
How did that smart cop get on our trail?
Yeah, I don't know. 6 weeks on the run and he's still right behind us. Come on, baby. Here's the rooftop.
Barker...
Come on, come on.
Parker, I forgot the feather.
Oh, come on, come on. There's no time for that.
I've got to go back and get it.
No. I haven't got time. Besides, Harajala's dead. Nothing can happen to us now.
Oh, Barker.
Come on, baby. Hurry. Along these roofs until we can find a place to get on.
Barker, I'm frightened.
But take it easy. They won't get us.
Hunted like this. Always hiding.
Now this way, Ruby. Over here.
I should have brought that feather. You know what Harajala said.
He's dead. The spell's broken.
It wasn't a spell. It was something he read in our futures. He said that because you and I and Flyer Sampson were born on the same day that...
Oh, I have to jump here. One building to the other. Just a couple of feet. Here. I'll go first. There.
Now, come on, Ruby. Just a couple of feet.
All right. But it's so dark.
Can you see me all right?
Yes. Oh, Barker, maybe there's still time to get the feathers.
Nuts. Just because Flyer Sampson got his neck caught in that trapeze is no sign we're going to end up the same way. Come on now.
All right.
Now, just give a good jump. Yeah, that's it. Ruby! Ah!
Good Lord. Those wires around her neck. Ruby!
What's this? Someone been in my room. Someone searched it.
That cop. Yeah, that filthy copper. He's tailing me. I gotta get out. Gotta get out of here. Hop a freight. Yeah, that's it. I gotta get out before it's too late.
Boxcar with an open door. I made it just in time.
Better close the door.
Yeah, now. Yeah, it's safe now. No one followed me. I'm sure of that. Yeah. Tired. Running from that copper. Better find a place I can lie down. Rest. Yeah, that's what I need. Yeah, lucky to find an open boxcar with no one in it.
But there is someone, Barker.
Who's that?
Don't you recognize my voice?
It's so dark in here.
You remember Barker?
Who are you? Who are you, I say? I've got a gun.
Then why don't you use it?
Yeah, I will.
You couldn't miss in this small place. Could you, Barker?
Who are you? What kept me from hitting you?
Your knife was more effective, remember?
Arajala.
Do you have the white feather, Barker?
Arajala. No, no.
Give me the feather.
No, no, anything but that.
I gave it to you once. I want it back again.
No.
Then perhaps I can convince
you. No, no, keep away from me. Don't touch me.
You can't see me, can you, Barker?
No, no, keep away.
There. You feel me? Now, hand me the feather.
Here.
Thank you, Barker. Now, I have all three of them.
Let go of me. I'm getting out of here.
Are you going to jump, Barker?
Keep away. Keep away from me.
We're picking up speed.
Keep away! Don't touch me again!
We'll soon be moving too fast for you to jump. You better do it now.
Yeah, yeah, I will.
You don't want to stay here with me, do you, Bart?
No. Oh, you got the others. You'll never get me.
You did jump. Poor Barker. And how pretty you look, hanging back there on that mail hook.
You have heard Superstition Be Hanged, the 17th tale of dark fantasy by Scott Bishop, originating in the studios of WKY. Ben Morris was heard tonight as Barker. Irma Ray played Ruby. Garland Moss was the fortune teller, and Muriel Schofield was Detective Kurt Guilfoyle. Next Friday at the same time, listen to Scott Bishop's 18th story in this dark fantasy series, Pennsylvania Turnpike, the weird and exciting tale of an aged hitchhiker who, strangely enough, refused to accept a ride in any car which did not have a person with red hair as an occupant. Tom Paxton speaking. Dark Fantasy comes to you from Oklahoma City. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Next Friday, because I don't know when I'll play Dark Fantasy again. I just tried that one out. It was, saw that. What interested me more was that it was from New York City. Oklahoma City. That mail hook kind of puts that to date, because they used to hang the mail on the hooks, and as the train would go by, the conductor would grab it off the hooks, and they would also have another set of hooks where they would leave mail as well. So I kind of find that, in 1942, I kind of find that hard that they would still be using that method. That was mostly when they had the steam locomotives. But as the lads indicated, you're listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. That Dark Fantasy aired almost 78 years ago. That's why I chose that one, because air date was the 13th of March, 1942. I wonder if they were had a polio epidemic at that point. Polio was after that. Maybe before that. Somewhere closer to polio than coronavirus. We'll go ahead the second part of the show here after I fulfill an FCC obligation.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule zero, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry. Okay, for the second half of the show, I'm going back to the Western, because I haven't really played a Western in the week before I did, I guess. I didn't hit you with a double feature of Westerns this morning, though. This is a Gunsmoke episode number 103. This is featuring John Daner. That's why I selected this one, because he seems to be all over the place as Paladin and Have Gun Will Travel. J.P. Kendall and what the heck is that one now? How come I can't remember that? Anyway. John Daner starring here in Gunsmoke. This is titled Greater Love, an original air date of the 10th of April, 1945.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Oh, you call this keeping the peace? Sitting around in the sun like a farmer on Sunday?
Hello, Doc.
Oh, I wish I was a U.S. Marshal. Get paid whether you work or not.
What's the matter, Doc? Lose a couple of patients last night?
I'm thinking of moving to San Francisco, Matt.
What for? You got a monopoly here in Dodge. San Francisco's full of doctors.
Yes, and they're probably all rich, too. Donna, I'm serious, Matt.
Yeah, forget it, Doc. You're some 20 years too late for the gold rush. And anyway, we need you here.
Dodge can find another doctor. I'm tired of working day and night and getting paid with promises.
Well, you need some money, I'll call a town meeting and shake it out of these people, Doc. But if you try to go to San Francisco, I'll throw you in jail and you can practice from there.
Oh, well, good. Then you'll have to feed me, too.
Gladly, Doc, gladly. If you can stand Chester's cooking.
Yeah, I take it all back, Matt. The last time I ate one of Chester's meals, I was groggy for 3 days. Chester.
Hello, Doc. Mr. Dillon.
Doc wants to know where you learned to cook, Chester.
Why, my Uncle Arthur taught me, Doc. I batched with him for a time when I was a boy. Poor old fella. He died soon after that.
I bet he did.
That stage is kind of late today, ain't it?
Well, the way Hank's driving, it shouldn't be, but I haven't got time to loaf around greeting stagecoaches. I'll see you men later.
I'll say so long, Doc.
He's emotioning at us, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, there's something wrong, Chester.
Wait there, Marshal. I'll get right down. We run into a fight, Marshal.
Anybody hurt, Hank?
I killed a man ahead riding shotgun.
Huh?
He fell off and I had to leave him there.
Well, I'll send somebody out for him. Where'd it happen?
Right where the trail crosses the South Fork of the Pawnee. There were three of them bandits, Marshal. But by heaven, we put slugs into two of them.
You mean you killed two of them?
No, they rode off, but I could see two of them was all hunkered up over their saddles like they was hurting pretty bad.
Did you recognize any of them?
Well, I'd hate to be wrong and get a man into trouble, Marshal, but I'd swear one of them was that young Howard Brandt. You know the fellow that moved out here with his wife a while back?
Yeah, I met him.
They got a place up near Turkey Creek, Mr. Dillon, but I ain't never seen it.
Now, let's ride up and see how they're making out, Chester.
All right, sir. I'll go get our horses. I met Howard Brandt when he first come out here, Mr. Dillon. He sure didn't seem like no bandit to me. Real gentle, easy-going fella.
That's like a horse that won't buck when you first get on him, Chester. He's waiting to come loose when you least expect it.
Yes, sir. Hey, there's Miss Brandt now. She must have seen us coming.
Yeah. All right, boy. Hello, Miss Brandt.
Howard ain't here.
It's important, ma'am. We'll just wait on the porch here. We won't bother you.
It's no use, Marshal. Howard won't be back till tomorrow.
Look down there, Chester, on the steps.
Hey, that's blood, Mr. Dillon.
Miss Brandt.
That's chicken blood. I just killed one.
I'm sorry, Miss Brandt, but I'm going to have to talk to Howard. Is he bad hurt?
He's dying, Marshal. Leave him alone.
You want to show me where he is?
Marshal, leave him die in peace. He ain't got long. You'll kill him asking him questions.
I don't figure he'll live through the night as it is.
Howard and his friends held up the stage, Miss Brant, and they killed a man.
Wait, Marshal.
Huh?
I'll tell you.
All right.
Jed Butler planned it all.
I never heard of no Jed Butler, Mr. Dillon.
Does this Butler live around here, Miss Brant?
Howard knew him in Oklahoma Territory, Marshal. He and a man named Blake come by here one night a few weeks back. They didn't come into the house, so I can't tell you what they look like.
But they talked Howard into holding up the stage, is that it?
I didn't know nothing about it, Marshal, till today. I was inside redding up the house, and I heard a shout. And I come out, and I found Howard laying in the dirt. They just dumped him there and rode off.
You think they forced Howard to go along?
No. He probably wanted to go. He disappointed me, Marshal. I'd thought Howard was an honest man. Maybe it's as well he's dying. I'm going into him now, Marshal.
You, want me to send Doc out?
No. It wouldn't do no good.
Well, if there's anything I can do for you, Ms. Brant, you let me know.
Thanks, Marshal. But I reckon it's too late now.
Chester, mm-hmm. Take this down to Mr. Hightower and have him print up some wanted notices from it, huh?
Yeah.
I guess that's about all I can do about Jed Butler and his friend right now.
Oh, somebody will spot him and come tell you sooner or later.
Yeah, I hope so. It's already been 2 days.
Matt. Hello, Chester.
Oh, hello, Miss Kitty.
Oh, what's the trouble, Kitty?
I just went up to Doc's office to get some stuff for my throat. He isn't there.
Well, should he be? Was he expecting you?
He wasn't there this morning either. When did you see him last, Matt?
I come to think of it, not since the day of the stage holdup. Why?
I was with him that night, Matt. He came into the Texas Trail real late.
Yeah?
We were sitting there talking, and some kid brought him a message. Doc didn't say it was from, but he left. And as far as I can find out, nobody's seen him since.
Hey, by golly, Mr. Dillon, she's right. I ain't seen Doc neither.
That was 2 days ago, Matt.
Well, sometimes Doc's out on a call longer than that.
Well, you're trying to fool yourself, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I am.
I heard about two of those bandits being shot.
Well, it sure couldn't have been Miss Brant who come for Doc.
No.
You mean one of those men was Howard Brant?
Well, they left him at his house, Kay. I didn't see him, but I believe Miss Brant, and well, he probably died last night.
I feel sorrier for her than him.
I guess I do, too, Kitty.
But what about Doc, Matt? What are you going to do?
Well, Kitty, if I knew where those men are, I'd have gone after him before now.
They're holding him. They might even kill him.
Look, Kitty, I can't go out and ride around on the prairie hoping to bump into him somewhere.
If anything happens to Doc, I'll go after those men myself, Matt.
Well, maybe they'll just turn him loose when he's through doctoring the men.
I wish I could believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, so do I. Waited the rest of that day and through the night, but nothing happened. The next morning, however, I was walking down to the office when I saw Ms. Brant drive by in a wagon. I waved, but she went on past me without a sign. And as she did, I noticed a figure lying in the back of the wagon wrapped in a blanket. As I watched her drive down the street and on out of town, I realized she must be headed for Boot Hill. I got Chester, and we followed her out to the burying ground. She had stopped and was taking a shovel out of the wagon when we walked up to her.
I don't need no help, Marshal.
The ground's hard, Ms. Brant. We'll dig a hole for you.
Leave me be. He's my man, and I'll bury him myself. Right where he deserves. Among the rest of these murderers and outlaws. What are you looking at, Marshal?
Your face. What happened to you?
Shows, does it?
Yeah.
Jed Butler did that, Marshal. He came by yesterday. Knocked me around some.
He did? What for? Where is he?
I was gonna come tell you. Once I got Howard buried.
Well, tell me now. He's got Doc with him. At least I think he has.
Doc was there, all tied up, sitting on a horse. He didn't say nothing. Butler said he'd shoot him if he did.
Why'd he beat you? What'd he want?
He wanted to know if you'd been around. And if we'd told you anything. Howard was still alive, Marshal. I don't know how he lived so long. But he died after Butler got to shaking him and slapping him.
What did you tell him?
Nothing. That's why he beat me.
Well, at least we know for sure he's got Doc with him, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, but we're no closer to finding him. You sure you won't let us help bury Howard, ma'am?
I kind of wish you would now, Marshal. I'm just about wore out.
Dillon, I just can't stand just waiting around doing nothing much longer. Couldn't you organize a posse or something?
Butler'd get scared if he got wind of a posse, Chester.
You mean he'd shoot Doc and try to get away?
Yeah, he might. It's a safer bet just to wait it up. Well, Tobiel, but come on in.
How are you, Tobiel?
Tobiel always good, Chester.
Where you been the last month anyway? Out scalping white men?
Tobiel no scalp white man long time. Maybe too long.
Well, for a tame Indian, you sure got a wild look in your eye. What you doing here?
Tobiel hunt antelope on prairie.
Huh?
Way off see two white men. One ride very funny. Tobiel go very close. They no see, but Tobiel see.
What did you see, Tobiel?
White medicine man.
A doc?
Good man. Take bullet out of Tobiel long time ago. No like him all tied in rope. Come quick, tell Marshal.
Do you know where they are? Can you track them?
White man easy to track, like buffalo herd. Always big fool.
When was this, Tobiel?
Yesterday. Long ride from here.
All right. Chester, go get our horses and find a fresh one for Tobiel. Maybe we won't be too late.
Return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, a man just out of prison emerges to freedom packed with panic. Monday night on CBS Radio, Suspense stars Broderick Crawford in Parole to Panic, a spine-tingling production well calculated to keep you in suspense. It's entirely possible under certain circumstances that prison might be preferable to freedom. Hear Suspense Monday night on most of these stations, and you'll agree fully with that premise. Now the second act of Gunsmoke.
It was 60 miles to where Tobiel had seen Doc and Jed Butler, but we rode hard and covered it in a very few hours. From there on, however, with Tobiel tracking, we had to slow down. And it was growing dusk when the trail finally led to the edge of a small bluff, and then turned and dropped down around the side of it. We dismounted and followed it the rest of the way on foot, to where we could see a small cabin hidden in a clump of box elder at the base of the cliff. And there we waited for the dark. When it came, we sneaked up to the cabin and stood close to the wall, listening.
How's he now, Doc?
I've told you before, Butler, the man's dying.
Listen, you, he's the only man I ever called friend. He better not die.
I'm a doctor, Butler. I'd do anything in my power to save a life, even that of a murderer.
You go on talking like that, I'll blow you open with this shotgun, Doc.
Why don't you carry a pistol, like ordinary men? Or are you too much of a coward?
Doc, You're either a fool or you're plumb crazy.
Oh, why? Because I'm not afraid to die?
Well, you're going to die just as soon as he does. I ain't going to leave you around to spread no tales. I'm going to kill you and get out of here.
And it won't be very long, Butler. Blake will go most any minute.
Maybe I ought to shoot you now. Just leave him here.
Well, I thought you said that he was your friend.
He is. But I'm getting a spooky feeling.
Chester, Toby, let's get back.
Talk out of you, Doc, and I won't wait.
You're going to kill him, Mr. Dillon.
Do something.
You better bust in there before it's too late.
No, no. He killed Doc, sure we do that.
Yeah, Tobiel's right, Chester.
But we got to do something. Doc said himself that wounded man's going to die any minute.
Hell, I'm thinking, Chester.
If plenty time, we'd wait and shoot when come out in morning.
Yeah, but we got no time.
There might be a chink somewhere in that cabin that I can poke a gun through.
Man say him very spooky now. One little noise, shoot Doc fast.
Yeah, I know. But I wouldn't dare take the chance.
Tobiel know many trick, all kind. But here, nothing.
If Butler used a pistol, Doc might have a bare chance, but that cussed shotgun...
Wait a minute.
What, Mr. Dillon?
That shotgun. It's not a six-shooter, and it's not a repeating rifle.
What do you mean?
He can shoot it once, and then he's got to reload.
Well, once is all it takes?
To kill one man, it is, Chester.
What are you doing, Mr. Dillon?
Here, take my gun belt, Chester.
What?
Here, take it.
Yes, sir, but what for?
I'm going in there, unarmed.
What?
Now, when I get inside, you and Phoebe will sneak up close. And you'll be ready to come through that door when you hear his shotgun go off.
Mr. Dillon, you can't do that.
Yes, I can.
He'll kill you, sure.
Maybe. But if you two don't get in there fast, if he does shoot, he'll club Doc to death.
But Mr. Dillon...
All right, now, quiet.
Who's that? Get over by the door, Doc. Oh, don't open it yet. Doc Adams is standing by that door. I got a shotgun aimed at his back. Now, who is it?
I'm unarmed. Open the door. I'll come in with my hands in front of me.
All right. Open it, Doc. Any tricks? I'll shoot Doc. Go ahead, Doc.
Hello, Doc.
Matt? Well, he's unarmed, Butler.
And get in here and close that door. Who are you?
Matt Dillon.
Dillon? Marshal?
That's right.
You got some men outside, huh? Well, it won't do no good, Marshal. I'll shoot you before they can get anywhere near me.
I got two men out there, Butler. And the second they hear a shot, they'll be in here.
That'll be too late. Warren Marshal?
Well, it depends on how you look at it, Butler. Won't be too late to take you. That shotgun only shoots once.
Take me? You'll be dead.
Yeah.
Matt, you shouldn't have done this.
Why not, Doc?
Well, it's bad enough. Me getting killed.
He can only kill one of us, Doc. If he shoots me, Tobiel and Chester will get him. And if he shoots you, I'll kill him with my bare hands.
You got it all figured, ain't you, Marshal?
Yeah?
Well, I'd rather kill a U.S. Marshal than a doctor any day. You know that?
Matt, he's right. You should have stayed outside.
And stand there waiting for him to shoot you? No, I wouldn't like that much, Doc.
Well, maybe you'll shoot me anyway.
Maybe. But at least there's some kind of a chance now.
Shut up, minute you two. Shut up. I don't quite figure this.
No?
No. You mean you come in here knowing I'll probably kill you rather than Doc? Is that right?
Yes, Butler, that's right. Yes, that's what he did.
Why?
Well, no reason, Butler. No reason at all, except we're friends, I guess. Just something like that.
What's being friends got to do with it?
You wouldn't understand, Butler. You no good, filthy, rotten scum.
He's willing to die for you, ain't he? I never heard of nothing like that. And him, Marshall, and everything, willing to die.
That's your friend, Butler. I better take a look at him. He's dead now. Well, make up your mind, Butler.
I just don't understand a man like that.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
What's that? You ain't saying that. That come from something. Scripture, huh? Is that what it is? Blake's the only friend I ever had.
Oh, and a while ago you were willing to leave him here to die. Alone. You don't know anything about friendship, Butler.
No, I guess I don't. Anyways, if I was in a spot like you, there ain't nobody in the world would have walked in here to do for me what the Marshal's willing to do for you.
And I feel sorry for you, Butler. Real sorry. If it'll still give you pleasure to shoot, well, go ahead.
No. I'd just get killed anyway.
All right, give me the gun, Butler.
Sure. I never knowed people like you in the dock before, Marshal. You sure you ain't crazy or something?
Maybe. Maybe we are a little, Butler. Who knows?
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Joyce McCluskey, John Daner, Frank Gerstle, and Ralph Moody. Harley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Tomorrow afternoon, for its 11th feature report to America, the CBS Radio Department of Public Affairs tells the story of the wetbacks, the thousands of illegal immigrants who cross our southern border through America's big back door to look for work and wages. Hear Wetbacks Sunday afternoon on most of these same stations. George Walsh speaking. John Lund, as yours truly, Johnny Dollar, brings you Colorful Mystery Tuesday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
Yeah, that was interesting. That CBS, there at the end. I couldn't figure out who John Daner was, which character. I think he played a couple. I think he played the Indian as well as the villain there in Greater Love. That original air date is the 10th of April, 1945. Following my blunder before I introduced the show, John Daner was featured in Frontier Gentlemen as J.P. Kendall. You've been listening to Arthur here at 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Tufts Freeform Radio. Stay tuned. The Worst Boys Guild is coming up next, and she's calling the station now, so I'll have to go down and let her in. I'll go ahead and cut out a little bit early here. Thanks for listening.
Around. I know I was nowhere but somewhere.